This morning, I'd like to invite you over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 20. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 20. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 15, verse 20 reads this way. It says, "And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this morning, and Lord, we thank you for this day, this Lord's Day that you've given to us, and Lord, we ask that you bless your word, and Lord, that you would open up our hearts and minds to hear from you, and that you would bless us with your Holy Spirit, that we might worship you in spirit and truth, and be pleasing in your sight, and then Lord, that you would strengthen the faith and grace that you've given to us. And then, Lord, if there's one or more than one that does not have the assurance of eternal life, it all begins there with a relationship with you. May they understand that need and trust you even today. For we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is, "His Father Saw Him and Had Compassion." His Father saw him and had compassion. And basically what we have here is a picture not only of a loving Father, but a picture of our Heavenly Father. And so we thank the Lord that we have a loving Heavenly Father that cares for our best interest, right? He has his best, really, in mind for each and every one of us. And sometimes, unfortunately, we don't know what he really wants for us. We get so preoccupied, we sometimes even get distracted and miss what God has for us because of all the things that may be going on in our lives or in the world. We can miss out on the blessings of God, and it's unfortunate that the truth is that there are churches that are closing down every day, right? Throughout the world, especially in our nation, there are churches that are closing their doors. There aren't more preachers surrendering to the ministry. There are less preachers that are surrendering to the ministry. Is it that we've reached all the people that there is to reach in America? No, it's unfortunate. That's not the case. There's people, even believe it or not, in America that have not even heard about the Lord Jesus Christ. I think I told you some time ago, I knocked on a door in Texas, and this young fellow, 21, 22 years old, didn't even know who Jesus was. I said, you're kidding me, right? You're joking. And he said, no, I mean, I heard something about him, but I don't know who he is.
you don't know that he's the Son of God. And he said, no, he did not know. And so he sat there and listened to me for about 30 minutes. He wanted to hear. And so there are people yet to be reached for the Lord Jesus Christ. But as we consider our text this morning, God is wanting us to understand the kind of relationship that he has with you and I. And here we have a picture of the prodigal son here. He goes away. And we have to ask ourselves, why did he leave? Why did he leave? Why are people leaving today, the so-called leaving the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, we talked about this morning in the men's Sunday school class that maybe doubt has arisen in the hearts of people and they don't understand. I would definitely say something has happened that has interfered with their relationship with the Lord. And so people are missing out on who God is in their life, in their everyday life. But one thing I want to share with you that you may have heard before, it's not original with me, I don't know who said it, but this is how it goes. Sin will always take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay. Sin will always do those things. In a nutshell, God's told us that in many, many different ways in his word. But I want us to consider some truths this morning concerning God's love for you and I. And you know, here's an amazing thing. God has spared no expense for our good. God has spared no expense, and God continually spares no expense for our well-being. And we're going to look at some things here this morning, but I want to just consider four thoughts concerning our Heavenly Father and the love that he has for us, and that is there are no restraints but love for God. He doesn't hold us down, but he loves us. Sometimes people say this, God or a Christianity is a crutch. Well, that may be true to a certain degree, but I want you to know, I need the Lord. Amen? I've lived without the Lord for the first 24 years of my life, and I don't want to do that anymore. There's help and there's hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So no restraints but love in the Lord. No bars to keep us out but open arms to receive us. No condemnation but an open celebration. And then no condemnation but an explanation of compassion. And we'll look at these thoughts here as we begin the message here this morning. Let me back you up to verse 11. And I want you to see no restraints but love. Look at verse 11 here. And here's what it says. And he said, a certain man had two sons. So we have a parable here. And it's a story, but it pictures an important truth here. So this man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. Now, I want to just stop and want you to see something this morning that maybe you've missed in the past, maybe overlooked, or maybe weren't ready yet to receive it. That happens a lot of times. Many times we look at the Word of God and we'd say, oh, that really stands out to me today. I've never noticed that before. Maybe because God was opening up other truths that we were ready for and we weren't quite ready for this truth. But here's what I want you to see. Notice again in verse 12, and the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. He had another brother, didn't he? So they both got their inheritance right up front. Now, I want you to know this. I want to ask you this question. First of all, whose wealth was it? Was it the son's or was it the father's? It was the father's wealth. By the way, the father could have said, you're not ready for it. Your heart's not in the right place. You're getting ready to go ahead and head into destruction. Do you think the father had an idea about the son? You think the father knew the son? Our Heavenly Father knows us as well. By the way, you might find this hard to believe, but you and I, and we'll understand it better when we stand before the Lord, are simply stewards of God's possessions. You don't know, Brother George, I gained this wealth by my strength. That strength's been given to you by the Lord. So is your life. So is your next heartbeat. That can be gone in a second. You don't understand, Lord, my intellect, my savvy has gotten me this wealth. Oh, listen, I want you to know again, the Lord has given all things, everything that you have to you. We are stewards. We're supposed to be stewards of that. But I do want you to know this also. God will spare no expense to teach you and I. And he will use your expenses, you think, your funds, to help bring you to the truth. And he does that many times. And so here we have a picture of the Father. He says, okay, you've asked for that. He didn't argue with them. I'm sure he knew that the younger son here was not in the right place. But the older son wasn't either, by the way. Just because he stayed home, his heart was not right with the Lord. So whether you leave or whether you stay, God's in the business of dealing with our hearts. And so we find this situation arising, and he divides them his living. And by the way, let's look at that again so you can see this, verse 12. And the younger of them said to his father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. Well, that's a good statement, because he didn't get them. They just happened to fall on him because he was born in that family. And then notice what it says right here. And he divided. Who's doing the dividing? The father. And he divided unto them whose living? His living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, the Lord's sharing this story for an important truth here. And anyway, here we have this account, and he took everything that he had, and we're told right away in the very same verse, he wasted it, right? He wasted it. Did the father suspect that was going to be the case? Yeah, I think he did suspect that. Do you think there was anything the father could have said to have changed his mind? Listen, you don't want to take a chance and do that, son. Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. How about Peter? Could the Lord have persuaded Peter that he was not going to deny him, and it was going to come to fruition? Do you think that the Lord could have convinced Peter that he was going to deny him that night? Oh no, Lord, ready? You don't know what you're talking about, to the Lord. No, Lord, no, Lord. And then he throws the rest of the disciples under the bus. Do all these forsake you? That you know there's trouble when you start pointing at other people, right? I'm not going to forsake you. They might do it, Lord, but I will never do it. And of course, we know that Peter wept bitterly. But Peter is a good picture of us, whether you believe that or not. Peter is a good picture of us. And God allows us, listen, the Lord spared no expense for Peter to come to the place to where he was a useful servant for the Lord. And God also spares no expense in your life and mine to bring us to the place to where we can enjoy a fellowship with him. Now, Peter wasn't perfect even after his conversion. In other words, not his salvation, but where he turned and began to lean on the Lord's strength instead of his own strength, because that was what Peter needed to be converted from. As a saved child of God, he needed to change his mind about what he thought and start to look to what the Lord said by faith. Now, that's how we experience the Lord. As long as Peter had in his mind, this is what I'm going to do for God, and I will do it, self was on the throne, and that God was never going to bless that. Today, you and I can do all that we think we want to do for God. None of that is going to come to fruition until we submit ourselves before the Lord and say, okay, Lord, you have your will and your way in my life. Or it's never going to happen. God won't let it happen because we're too filled with, believe it or not, pride. And so here's this young person who really doesn't want the will of the Father in his life. He thinks he's got a better way. I can provide for myself. I know how to invest this. I know how to manage this. I'll take care of this, and I will bless myself. I will multiply it, and then I will go ahead and also gain the things and look for the things that I want to bring into my life. Well, he blew it all, didn't he? He blew it all. Not only that, but he was also far away from the Father at that particular point. And he knew that. The Father knew that. So look at verse 13. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. Not many days. That's an important statement. I don't know if that was his time that he took to gather all the things that he had. I don't know if he took time to contemplate what his father had said, but regardless, he took his journey. We have to take our journey. He took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. Now, he may have been enjoying it for a time. I don't know. But I would tell you there'd be a very short time. Do you think he noticed the depletion of his finances? Or do you think it just came? I think he began to look at it and said, boy, there's not as much as there was at first, to a certain degree. But whatever it was, sin had a hold on him. Pride had a hold on him. The love for the things of this world had a hold on him, and he couldn't stop himself until it was all gone. And the Bible tells us here that he wasted his substance at the bottom of verse 13 with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Listen, that is the only place we can be if we're going to experience the Lord. We have to see the need. He didn't see his need until it was all gone. In fact, he didn't even see his need until it was all gone, and then there was a famine in the land. I don't know what's on the horizon for our country or for the world, but God does. But I will tell you this, maybe God is wanting to get the attention of his people. I believe he is. I believe he wants to get the attention of his people. Because see, here's what we do. We make the sad mistake in our nation today that we think it's who's in the White House that blesses our nation. No. It's God. It is God. It's not a man. It is God. We were talking about how the people started making big of who Moses was during the time of Christ, where they were worshiping him. Any man of God, Paul, Moses, Elijah, any of them would tell you, oh, listen, I'm nothing without God. I am nothing. If they're truthful, if they're seeking the honor and the glory of the Lord, they know that they are just a simple instrument and God can use anybody. But here's the key. He will not infringe upon our choice. He won't infringe on yours either. You might think you have everything you can get from God. But let me ask you this question. Is God getting everything he wants from you? Because you might have it all backwards. And I will tell you, we do without God. We think we've heard it all. We think we've got it all. And we don't know we're missing everything from God. There are so many things that God wants us to experience that we're missing. Brother George, that's kind of hard today, this morning. I mean, we're celebrating Father's Day. Yep, and we've got a Heavenly Father that loves us. And we have a nation that was founded upon, in spite of what the revisionists are saying, we have a nation that was founded upon God Almighty, and we are in a dire strait and have strayed far away from Him. We have taken our substance and wasted it. And by the way, His. Because it was His grace that allowed our nation to be what it ever was when it stood in its glory. It's departed. We still have remnants of the blessings of God, and we are blessed far beyond any other nation on planet Earth. But we are a far cry from what we once were, and we are a far cry from what God's intent is on us to be as His people. And so here's this young man, and he's in a bad place. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. You know, that's the big thing that's missing amongst God's people, the want of God. The want of God. We don't really need him. We kind of have our little bell and we ring it when we want him, we think. But we're missing out. And the joy will be gone. The power of God will be gone. And the glory of the Lord won't be seen. won't be even experienced. I've mentioned this to you, and it's not because it's unique to me. It's because it's the Word of God. We don't have an unsubstantiated faith. God substantiates it. God, listen, did Moses wonder if God was real in his life? No. Why? Well, it started off with the Lord's will in him, but then also with that fiery bush, and also with the 10 plagues, and also with all that he did for Israel in the wilderness. Did Paul wonder if God was real? Could the world say, Paul, you believe in a God that is non-existent? Oh, you couldn't tell Paul that. You mean even when they threw him in prison unjustly? Yep. Even then, he had seen God and had seen God on a daily basis. May I tell you something? It's because God's people aren't looking for him. They can't see God on a daily basis. And if you're not experiencing the Lord on a daily basis, then you're not moving by faith of what you're hearing in the Word of God. The Word of God is falling on deaf ears. The Word of God applied is what brings faith. In other words, when we look at, listen, the Israelites were told that God was going to take care of them in the wilderness. And what happened? They doubted what God had said. And so, therefore, they came into all their problems. Likewise, in the same way, you and I, we can hear the Word of God, but if we don't believe God's there, we're not going to see him. And your past experiences are just that. They're in the past. And God wants to give us fresh oil on a daily basis of the experience of his grace and power in our lives. So what happens when we don't see God in our everyday lives? We act like the world. We act like the world. We talk like the world. Where's God in that? He's not. I didn't say you weren't a child of God. That's between you and him. But where's God? Oh, we bring him out on Sunday. We bring him out on Sunday. Really? I thought he was over all this. I thought he was the one that's in control. No, we just bring him out on Sunday. Really? I mean, so we bring out the sun too, and we bring out the rain, and we bring out the tides, and we bring out how everything grows, and we bring out everything that makes up our body. We've short-sighted ourselves on who God is. And so we miss out. This might shock you. I was talking to a believer, professed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we were having a conversation. And I didn't know they were on the road. But in the mid-stride, as they're talking to me, he starts using profanity because somebody had interfered with him on the road. And it took maybe a few moments. I just got quiet. Well, how does that happen? Because that's who you are. That's who you are. Don't tell me you're Christ-like. That's what it means to be a Christian. Don't tell me that you have the influence and the power of the Holy Spirit. What kind of light is that? It's your own. It's darkness. Because that's what we are without God. So we should examine our lives. And if it's in conflict with the Word of God, we ought to bring it before the Lord and say, Lord, fix it. Because I can't. And then when he fixes it, I think there ought to be a little bit of praise to the one who fixed it. It'd be like something's broken in your life and somebody fixes it and you just move on without saying a word to them. And you keep coming back to them to fix it and you don't say anything to them ever about their repair work for you. Do you think that might be what we would call ungrateful? To at least not say thank you? See, thank you is praise for what God has done. I think if God's people were more in the business of thanking God for what he's doing, they'd be more noticed, they'd be more observant of the work he's doing. But because we don't see God, is it any wonder that not much is going on? In fact, there is a lot going on, the flesh, the world, the lust of this life, the pride of this life. Listen, you can't be neutral with God. Because Jesus said, you're either for me or you're against me. You will either be drawing closer to me or you'll be drifting away. I dare say America has drifted away, wouldn't you? The only ones that God is looking to are his people. He doesn't expect anything from those who are without. But he does expect his people to experience his grace in their lives. But are we even looking for it? And then are we seeing it? How simple is it to just say, thank you, God? It's amazing to me that my heart can just keep pumping. How is that? How is it? Where does it get its fuel? I mean, I know we eat, but please, it doesn't wear out until it's time. I got a God I can thank for. I thank you, Lord. And as far as I know, today, I could be in better health, but I don't have anything ailing me that I know of. And so I can thank God every day I open up my eyes that he gives me physical life. I can thank God that he gave me spiritual life. I can thank God that I should expect to see him in my life today. And I have. I have. I see him. Listen, there are you in this congregation that come up to me and say, and tell me, let me tell you what God has done in my life. I love to hear that. Because you're seeing God. Or they'll tell me something, and then they'll say something like, only God. And if I don't say it, I want you to know on the inside I'm saying amen. Only God. Oh, you guys are just a little bit too fanatical. Well, praise God, somebody better be. And if it's not God's people, maybe there's something bigger missing. Didn't the Lord say that there would be people in that day that they, in Matthew chapter 7, when they stand before him and they rattle off their list, and God says, I never knew you. That ought to be a sobering thought. If you're here and you act like the world and live like the world and don't care about the things of God Monday through Saturday. I'm not saying that's here. But I am saying this. You and I have already agreed America is not what she once was. Is God looking to the world or his people? So if he's looking to his people, would it not stand to reason that his people are not what they once were? God's people are not what they once were. We have a heavenly Father that still cares. But you know what? Listen, he's not playing games. You want to go your own way? Go. Well, he's not making any deals. God's not in the business of making deals, but he has given us his promises that cost him his son. You fathom that thought. He's made promises with the blood of his son for you and I. He says, go. So this fellow went. And he wasted it all. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And I think that's what's missing. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. That's not a good place to be for a Jewish boy. And this is the Lord telling Jewish people about this. So it stands to reason he's talking about a Hebrew. It's an unclean... Listen, the depths that sin will take us into without God. So he's out there feeding swine. And listen, he came to this thought. I bet you he never thought about this before he got here. Verse 16, and he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. He got so desperate. Have you ever been around pigs? Is there anything they're eating you would eat? The thought of it is not inviting at all. He was looking at it and thought about it. He would fain have filled his belly with what they were eating. And I'm telling you, he must have thought, how did I get here? How did I get here? That's a good question for America, isn't it? That's a good question for God's people. How did we get here? Verse 16 again, and he would have fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. Now, I want you to see that there are no bars to keep us out from the Lord, but he has open arms for true repentance, for true sorrow, for a godly sorrow. And verse 17, and when he came to himself, may everybody in this room always realize that's God's standing position with you and I as his children. He's there with open arms. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Now that's how he saw himself. Let me ask you this question. Did the father see him that way? I want you to know your heavenly father never sees you that way because of the blood of his son in your life that you've received. He said, and by the way, did Peter feel like he was in a pretty low place when he denied the Lord? Did he not feel no more worthy? And when the Lord told, tell my disciples, did he not say, and Peter too? Peter also, why? Because he knew Peter needed that. He knew Peter. He didn't need a personal invitation. The Lord's arms were open wide, but the Lord knew that Peter needed a personal invitation because of the place and the position, how low he had gotten. So he said, I'll just be as one of your hired servants. And so he makes his way back. And then what does he find? Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Hey, listen, right there where you're at, do you know that God wants to give you his promises, fulfill his promises the moment he sees you coming to him? I want you to think about that. The moment your heart, now I didn't say, the moment your heart turns toward him, that pleases the Lord. And his father saw him, but when he was yet a great way off in verse 20, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Wow. The Father. The Father. Our Heavenly Father. Because of the Son of God feels that way about you and I. We are joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ by the righteousness and grace of God. And the son said, verse 21, unto him, Father, isn't that amazing? I'll be as one of your hired servants. But there's something about that connection that he could not call him anything else but Dad. Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. What is this? Repentance. Confession. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. This is the process for restoration. But the father said to his servants, did you hear that? Did you see that? The father runs out to him, falls on his neck. And the son is there. The father had servants right there with him for anything that he needed. And the servants are there. The son just says, I'm no more worthy. Did the father hear him? Yes. Was he going to move on what the son said? No. Aren't you glad that God gives us abundantly above what we think or ask? Abundantly above? He didn't expect that. So again, verse 20, the father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son, verse 21, said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. That's where God wants us. Why would we take anything less? And we have, we've all agreed that America is not what she once was. And that's only because God's people are not what they once were. Why have we sold out? God says, I want the best robe. I want the ring and shoes on his feet. And verse 23, no condemnation, but an open celebration. And bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead. And what he did was serious. And is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. You want to know the way of happiness? Right there. I can't say it any better than that. When you are home with the Father, there is a merry celebration. I didn't say there would be no trials. And don't let that throw you, because would Paul trade what he had with Christ because of the imprisonments that he had, the time in prison? Do you think he would trade that? Do you think Paul was a little off his rocker? Do you think he imagined the Lord's presence with him? Why don't we? Has our God changed, or is he the same yesterday, today, and forever? Isn't that amazing how we think of the Lord? He's not changed. Our thinking has changed, but he's not changed. And so he's opened up his arms, and they're celebrating. Do you know, listen, I don't know where I was looking at this. It was somebody to do with construction. And sometimes I'll see something, and I got kind of sidetracked, and it was reading into crawl spaces underneath homes, right? And this carpenter, this fellow, I don't know if he did plumbing or what kind of construction work he did, but he was doing a repair job. He said there is barely enough room for me. And he said, I'm a thin guy, and I'm just like working in this condition. And he said if you're ever going to build a house, you should use like a 4 foot crawl space underneath your house, because when your repair people are happy, they do good, better work. if you jam them in there, there's no room. I think we don't have any room for God anymore. We've got so much stuff jammed in such a small area called our life that like that it's gone. We've made it so small, no room for God. But they were rejoicing. They were happy. Does God want us happy? Try that again. Does God want us happy? Isn't that amazing? He does want us happy. With the world's joy that's like a roller coaster? Or with God's joy that even when the rug gets pulled out from under us, there's still peace. Do we believe that? That God grants a peace and a joy the world knows nothing about? Oh, that was just for Paul. He said, just look on. Don't follow me, because you'll never have what I have. Or did he say, follow me as I follow Christ? Because you've been given the same grace that he had. I don't know that we really believe the way God wants us to believe that we can have and walk with him every day. Because he changes us. We can't change ourselves. Don't even pretend to do that. We can't change ourselves. But God is in the business of changing us. Did this prodigal son get changed? He didn't even have shoes on his feet. Did he get more than what he bargained for? Every time with God. If God is there, you'll get more than what you bargained for. If you're not getting anything from God, I don't blame you. Don't serve him. But it's not because God doesn't want to bless. It's because we've missed him. And got legalism or something else, but not Jesus. Because Jesus brings what he's promised in his word. And so if there's something missing in our life, maybe we better bring it before the Lord and say, God, fix it. Because I'm convinced of this. God wants you and I to be witnesses of His great grace and great faithfulness. And if you're not experiencing God's great grace and God's great faithfulness, it's not Him, it's not His fault. We've missed something. When the Lord was crucified and rose again, and the disciples didn't know that the Lord had risen again, did that change the fact that the Lord had risen again? They just didn't know it at the moment, did they? There are things possibly, could there be, maybe I should ask it in a question, could there possibly be things in God's people that they are missing that God wants them to have today? I don't know about you, but I want everything God has promised to His people. Because it's His promise, and I expect to have it because God is faithful. And if I believe it, I think I will seek it and ask Him for it. But if I don't believe it, I'll just wait till next Sunday to think about Him again. Listen, the time is short. Time is short. Your life and mine will soon be finished. We'll be done with on this side. Why would you want to miss God? Why would we want to miss God? Do you know, if we ask God to set our hearts on fire for Him, do you think that honors and glorifies the Lord? There's another challenge for you, for your own self. Lord, You set my heart on fire because of who You are and want to be in my life. And see what God will do very quickly, and we'll finish up here. So, there's no condemnation but an open celebration. And then lastly, I want you to see no condemnation but an explanation of compassion. Verse 25, now His elder son was in the field, and as He came and drew nigh to the house, He heard music and dancing, and He called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. What's going on? He may have been, at this moment, he may have been a little bit excited because he didn't know his brother had come home. He didn't know what the celebration was about. He probably said, oh boy, man, can Dad throw a party? You think there's going to be something to celebrate at the marriage feast of the Lamb? You think there's going to be a little bit of happiness going on? Well, he heard some happiness going on and the music. And so he says, what's going on? Verse 27, and he said unto him, thy brother's come, and thy father hath killed the fatted calf because he hath received him safe and is sound. You think the servant was delighted that the son come home? Yes. He's safe and sound. I cannot imagine being a parent of these missing children. Can you? If you had a son or a daughter that was missing, do you think you'd think about them a little bit and wonder what was going on in their lives? I do that because I want what's best for them. Do you want what's best for your kids and your grandkids and your family? Do you know God wants it even more than we do? That's amazing. Verse 27, and he said unto them, thy brother is come, and thy father hath killed a fatted calf because he hath received him safe and sound. And he was happy. Listen, the younger son physically left, but this boy wasn't there either. He wasn't where the father was at. He was not of the same heart. He was just as far away. And he was just as poverty stricken, even though he had all kinds of wealth. Do you know, monetarily speaking, we are one of the wealthiest nations, and we've become one of the most poorest spiritually. You can have the wealth of the world, but without God, it's not much. This guy had it. He had the wealth, but no relationship. And he was angry, verse 28, and would not go in. Can you see that? This is an adult man. folded his arms. Countenance must have fallen. He was angry. And would not go in. Therefore came his father out to entreat him. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that, wherever you're at, do you know your heavenly Father is looking for you? Wherever you're at, do you know that our God is looking for you? He's looking for us. And isn't it amazing? You know, parents can tell. I think moms are a little better at it than fathers, personally. At least it's true in my life. Did you see that? No, I didn't see it. You know, sometimes I see it. What's the matter with them? Sometimes I don't see it. But he saw it and went and entreated him. He didn't just see it. He did something about it. And what does he say? Verse 29, and he answering said to his father, right? So the father comes to him, the son speaking up, and he says, lo, listen, what's the problem? These many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment, and yet thou never gavest me, right? Never gavest me a kid that I might make merry with my friends. What's the problem? He's got an eye problem. You know that'll give us the greatest problem when we start looking to ourselves. What we think, how I feel, instead of what God has said. Verse 30, but as soon as this thy son, not my brother, your son, was come, which hath, by the way, look, listen to the account he gives, the condemnation. The father already knew this, which hath devoured thy living, your living. He gets specific, with harlots thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Well, praise God, if it wasn't for the mercy of God, we'd all be guilty. And he said unto him, son, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. But he wasn't enjoying it. But why? Because he didn't see it as the father saw it. All that I have is yours. You want to know a quick way for the child of God to lose the joy? To not understand, listen, that all the promises of God are ours. What would you rather have? All the wealth of the world or God? That's a good question. All the wealth of the world or God? And if it's God and we have him, then we are the ones that have the greatest possession in all the world. I am a child of the King. I am a child of the King. There, you couldn't pay me enough to trade my relationship with God for the things of this world. You couldn't pay me enough. My father-in-law would say, for me to take any other job would be a step down than to preach the Word of God. And he meant it. It was real with him. Because he could see his God. How about us today? Who are we seeing? Who did this brother see? Himself. It's who he saw. What he wanted. What he was doing. Look what I did for you. What was missing? The love of God. And the father was reminding him. He said, son, verse 31, thou art ever with me, and all that I have is thine. The heavenly father could say that to every one of his children. It was meet that we should make merry and be glad, for this thy brother was dead and is alive. You know what he's saying? Just like you said. Just like what you accused him of. He was dead. And he's alive again. And was lost and is found. But that brother couldn't rejoice. Now, we're not told the rest of the story. Here's what I'd like to believe. That older brother said, you're a great dad. You're an awesome father. Thank you for allowing me to get it straight. Because all that you have is mine. And you know what the greatest part of it all was? Listen, thou art ever with me is what the Father said. You believe that? Thou art ever with me. I like that. If you're a child of God, you are ever with the Father, and the Son is in you, and we're in Him. We can all say thank you, Lord, for the greatest Father on earth is mine. Would you stand as we prepare for the Lord's invitation and an opportunity for what, Brother George? Praise? Thankfulness? Even repentance to turn back and say, oh God, have I missed what you've given to me? May you help me to see the truth and not get clouded with what I think, but what you've said and what you've given. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word and this time that we have to worship you. Lord, I pray that you would bless the remainder portion of this time by your Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts and minds, and that we might realize what you've truly given to us in our relationship with you. Bless the invitation. May it honor and glorify you and draw our hearts closer to you. For we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.